Glad he's God and he has not changed. His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Success Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one to and welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states and our countries near as far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get this show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, King, like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again, K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the 6 Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang, He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel, the Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods for those who use the PayPal platform. Go to paypal.com. That's PayPal.com. And in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES. The digit 2, the digit 4, and in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you.
Hey,
Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels. We got Sister Emily, M's dad, and Six with me.
All right. Well, how you doing, everybody? Your mics are open if you want to say hi.
Kenny?
Yeah.
You don't see Lila up there because she's on here with me.
Right. I think that's what Ruth meant.
Yeah.
So how you two doing?
Educate me tonight. Eat your food. You got it right there.
So how you doing, Lila and Emily?
We're doing wonderful.
Okay.
And I got a push cat trying to feed. Keep me off tonight. I'll be nice.
And then, how you doing tonight, Six?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing great, Six. So tonight, we got a great show in mind for y'all tonight. Just let me give you a little outline where we're headed tonight. We're just starting our newest series. We just finished the series on angels. But tonight, we're going to be talking about drinking. Alcohol and drinking in the Bible. What does the Bible really have to say about it? A lot of people, you go to churches and things, and you hear the way they teach it, it's total sobriety, meaning no drinking whatsoever. Don't even look at it. Don't look at alcohol. Don't go to a restaurant, like a restaurant bar, where they may be selling alcohol. Because that would be considered sinful, et cetera, et cetera. So, but does the Bible really teach that? Does the Bible teach that you have nothing at all to do with alcohol? Or is there something totally different in the Bible? We're going to find out as we go through this series, okay? We're going to be at this maybe a couple of months. So I want you to stick around, see what God's Word really has to say about drinking and alcohol in the Bible. And tonight we're going to be starting with those who drank in the Bible, those who actually did drink alcohol of some kind in the Bible, because it talks about wine and strong drink. We're going to find out about those who drank in the Bible. And then in the midst of that little bit of a study there, we're going to have, of course, Six. He has to answer our little question that we got for him about the song and poem. And, of course, if he manages not to get the good buzzer but the bad buzzer, there may be sound effects we may choose to use that may affect those with PTSD and that kind of thing. But then after Six tries his little song and poem and we finish out our study on alcohol and drinking, then we go to Sister Ruth and her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
You got 10 Jewish girls.
Ooh, 10 Jewish girls. Wonder if they are looking for a husband. Okay. So we'll find out about the 10 Jewish girls and what they have to do in relationship to Bible prophecy. And then after that, of course, we close out the program with, of course, our question of the day, which neither has a correct or incorrect answer, just based upon your own opinion. And then from there, we close out in prayer and then a Red Sylvine song to close out the program tonight. So anybody got any comments they want to say just before we get started tonight?
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask the listeners, I have a very special unspoken from my son-in-law.
Okay. We got you. So is everybody ready for the main broadcast?
Oh, okie dokie, folksy.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Here we go.
Question remains. Why would Russian machines type in the reptiles of this small
frozen? Call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. Especially at the end of our broadcast, you can ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. How many people do you know that don't drink, and what are they like? How many people do you know that don't drink, and what are they like? But tonight, we're going to get into our topic. It's a new one that we're starting about alcohol and drinking. And our first scripture context, of course, we're going to be discussing those who drank in the Bible, those who drank. And our first scripture context is found in Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 to 20. Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through 20. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after the return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer of the kings that were with him, the valley of Shavuoth, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High, which hath thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all.
And here we find the king of Salem. Doesn't say he actually drank it, but why would he have wine if he didn't drink? All right. Our next scripture context is found in Genesis chapter 27, verses 21 to 40. Genesis chapter 27, verses 21 through 40. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And as Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and he said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and feel me, my son." Or kiss me, my son, I'm sorry. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee, the Lord over thy brethren and thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed is he that blesseth thee." And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out in the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came to from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and hast blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing." He said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? He hath supplanted me this two times, took away my birthright, and behold, taken away my blessing. Hast thou also have a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above, and thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck.
And here we find, of course, Isaac and his two sons, and, of course, Jacob being the trickster with his mother, Rachel, pulling the dirty little stunt of tricking Isaac into giving him the blessing. And he says that he brings in the thing, in the venison, he eats it, and he drinks wine. He drinks wine. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 to 12. Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 through 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, and a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk.
And this, of course, is a prophecy of Judah in the last days, and it talks about him washing his clothes in wine, and his eyes being red with wine. Amen. Doesn't say he's drinking it, but it does say he's washing his clothes, etc., in wine. Amen. Our next scripture context is found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat meat, or moist, excuse me, grapes, or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come unto his head, until the days be fulfilled in the which he separates himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, or for his brother, or for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And on the eighth day he shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering and make an atonement for him for that he sinned by the dead, and that shall hallow his head that same day. And he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering, but the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb, the first year without blemish, for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for peace offerings, and a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of a fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meat offering and their drink offerings. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering, shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord with the basket of unleavened bread. The priest shall offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it in the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram, and one unleavened cake out of the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after the hair of his separation is shaven. And the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. This is holy for the priest, with the waved breast and heaved shoulder. And after that the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite who hath vowed, and of his offering unto the Lord for his separation. Beside that, his hand shall get, according to the vow which he vowed, so he must do after the law of his separation.
Now, considering the fact that we're talking about those who drank, we'll be coming back to this scripture later, because it also talks about, in this text, the Nazarite may not drink wine or strong drink. Notice the key words there. Wine or strong drink during the time he's under his Nazarite vow. But after he has completed his Nazarite vow, and it's done, he may drink wine, implying wine or strong drink, after he has completed his Nazarite vow. Hello? So there was alcohol drinking in the Bible. Right here, there were those who did drink. Sorry, you advocates for sobriety, complete sobriety. You need to read your Bible. There were those who did drink. And we'll continue to prove that in our next scripture context, which is found in Numbers chapter 18, verses 8 to 15. Numbers chapter 18, verses 8 to 15. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and by thy sons, by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place shalt thou eat it, every male shall eat it, it shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel, I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. And the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them, which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in thine house shall eat of it.
Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that openeth a matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beast shalt thou redeem.
All right, here we find there were certain things that were given Aaron and the priests and their household. Why? Because if you read Numbers chapter 18, you find, as we just did in this chapter, that it was given to them because if you read the whole chapter, you find they were not given an inheritance in the land of Israel. The work of the Lord was their inheritance. And God said certain things were given to them off of the offerings of God. And you notice one of the things that was given them, the best of the wine. The best of the wine was given to them off the offerings of God. Interesting, isn't it? All right. So that implies that they, obviously, the priest drank too. All right. Next scripture context is found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 9 to 14. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 9 to 14. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle.
Now you notice here what God said he's going to do if they obey him. What's he going to bless them with? Not only longer life, the blessing of the womb, etc., but he's going to bless them with wine. Wine. Now, he's not going to bless them with wine if they're not going to drink it. Come on, soberists. Come on, abstinence people. Why would God say he's going to bless them with wine if he wasn't, if they weren't going to drink it? Makes no sense. Amen. It pays to read your Bible. All right. And our last scripture context before six has to guess our message in song and poem is found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 to 23. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 through 23. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. The land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. It shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in this due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest she perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from you, possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves.
And once again, what did God say he was going to bless the people with if they obeyed his laws and his commandments? Amongst everything else, not only the blessing of the land, but he was going to bless them with wine. Wine. Doesn't speak well for the soberest, does it? So far we find that God will bless the people with wine if they obey. And we find that there were some people who definitely drank, such as Isaac, when he was tricked by Jacob and his wife Rebekah. So we find that, yeah, there were people who drank in the Bible. Now, it didn't say they got drunk. Notice that. It said they drank wine, such as the Nazarite. It didn't say nothing about them getting drunk. It just said they drank wine. So there were people in the scripture who did drink. Amen. But right now we're going to turn the mic over to Brother Six here, and see if he could tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
And they had the biggest pipe organ of any church in town. But over in the Amen corner of that church sat Brother Al. And he insisted every Sunday on singing in the choir. His voice was cracked and broken. Age had touched his vocal cords. And nearly every Sunday he'd get behind and miss the words. Well, the choir got so flustered, the church was told and fined that Brother Al must stop his singing, or the choir was going to resign. So the pastor appointed a committee, I think it was three or four, and they got in their big fine car and drove up to Iron's door. They found the choir's great trouble sitting there in an old armchair, and the summer's golden sunbeams lay upon his snow-white hair. Said York, we're here, dear brother, with the vestry's approbation to discuss a little matter that affects the congregation. Now, we don't want no singing except what we've thought. The newest tunes are all the rage. The old ones stand for naught. And so we have decided, are you listening, Brother I? You'll have to stop your singing. It's messing up our choir. The old man raised his head, a sign that he did hear. And on his cheek, the three men caught the glitter of a tear. His feeble hands pushed back the locks as white as silky snow. And he answered the committee in a voice both soft and low. I've sung the Psalms of David nearly 80 years, said he. They've been my staff and comfort all along life's little way. Sorry I disturbed the choir. I guess I'm doing wrong. But when my heart is filled with praise, I can't keep back a song. I wonder if beyond the tide that's breaking at my feet, in that far-off heavenly temple where my master and I shall meet, yes, I wonder if when I try to sing the songs of God up high, I wonder if they'll kick me out up there for singing in heaven's choir. A silence filled the little room. The old man bowed his head. The committee went on back to town, but Brother Iyer was dead. The choir missed him for a while, but he was soon forgotten. A few churchgoers watched the door, but the old man entered not. Far away his voice is sweet, and he sings his heart's desire, where there are no church committees and no fashionable choir. Let me hide myself in thee.
You may go through the world, but 'twill be very slow if you listen to all that is said as you go. You'll be worried and fretted and kept in a stew, for meddlesome tongues must have something to do, and people will talk. If quiet and modest, you'll have it presumed that your humble position is only assumed. You're a wolf in sheep's clothing, or else you're a fool. But don't get excited. Keep perfectly cool, for people will talk. And then, if you show the least boldness of heart or a slight inclination to take your own part, they'll call you an upstart, conceited and vain, but keep straight ahead. Don't stop to explain, for people will talk. For threadbare your dress or old-fashioned your hat, someone will surely take notice of that and hint very strangely that you can't pay your way. But don't get excited, whatever they say, for people will talk. If your dress is the fashion, don't think to escape, for they criticize then in a different shape. You're ahead of your means, or your tailor's unpaid, but mind your own business. There's naught to be made, for people will talk. Now the best way to do is to do as you please, for your mind, if you have one, will then be at ease. Of course you will meet all sorts of abuse, but don't think to stop them. It ain't any use, for people will talk.
All right, Six, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
The common message is, no matter what, people are going to talk, they're going to judge. In both instances, the man was praising the Lord, singing, and he's not good enough for earth, but he's good enough for heaven. So he'll be appreciated up in heaven. And the same for the song and poem. You'll be appreciated up in heaven. People are going to judge, they're going to say whatever, but the main goal is keep praising the Lord, whether you sing, whether you pray.
Well, in this case, you're 100% correct. Yes, people will talk, and they need to just mind their own business, because if they mind their own business, they'll be busy all the time.
One thing about it, the smallest part of our body is the most powerful, the tongue. It speaks life, it speaks death. It speaks good, it speaks evil. So have your tongue do the good and bless and speak good. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And we're going to pause now to hear about the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, and then a little station ID. Amen.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on 6 on his radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Now that we're back, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. Especially at the end of our broadcast, you can ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. How many people do you know that don't drink, and what are they like? How many people do you know that do not drink, and what are they like? Amen. But right now, we're going to get back into our main topic that we just started on alcohol and drinking, and our subheading of those who drank in the Bible. And our next scripture context is found in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 15 to 18. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 15 to 18. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee, the unclean and the clean may eat thereof, and of the roebuck, and of the hart. Only ye shall not eat the blood, ye shall pour it upon the earth as water. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, or of thy wine, or of thy oil, or the firstlings of thy herd, or of thy flock, nor any of thy vows which thou spouest, nor thy freewill offerings or heave offering of thine hand. For thou must eat them before the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thine hands unto.
Now here we notice something interesting about wine. Because it was part of the tithe that was given to the priest as their due, also it says that the person could not eat the tithe or drink the tithe, but they could eat and drink the tithe once they got to the place where the sacrifice, etc., was given. So let's say you lived in Galilee, but you went up to Jerusalem to give your tithe at the temple. When you got there, then you could rejoice and have your tithe and eat it and etc. So you were the one who ate it and drank it. Why? Because you were rejoicing with the priest and everybody in what God had freely given you. Very interesting. Read that very carefully. That's what it said. And basically, it's talking about drinking wine once again. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 to 26. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there the tithe of thy corn, or of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household.
All right, you soberists, you abstinists. What does it say here? Just in the previous text, it said the same thing here, that you were to take your tithe and take it to the place that God chose. Like I used the example, if you lived in Galilee and you went to Jerusalem to give your tithe there, you were also the one who ate that tithe and drank that tithe, and it involved wine. But did you notice some extra stuff it said? Say the journey was too long. You were to take that tithe, turn it into money. That way the ox or whatever you would have had to give as an offering wouldn't get skinny. Poor sacrifice. Then you were to take that money when you got to Jerusalem at the temple. Then you were supposed to buy what you needed for your offering and your tithe with the money. And it says, what was part of that that you could get? Wine and what? Hello, abstinence. Wine and strong drink. Wine and strong drink. Now, that doesn't sound like grape juice. Wine and strong drink. But it didn't say they got drunk off their butts and didn't know what they were doing. It just said they had wine and strong drink. So they obviously were drinking alcohol, and it was very strong alcohol on occasions. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice.
Now you notice, once again, here's another feast that they have. They come in to give their offerings, and once again it talks about wine, but did you catch the one word it says? They were supposed to be solemn. So obviously, even though they're drinking wine, they're not getting drunk because they're solemn. Hello? There's proof, positive, that even though they're drinking, they got their faculties about them. God expected people to use restraint in drinking. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and in its inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. And this shall be the priests do from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep, and they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw. The first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever.
If you notice the same thing we're taught in Numbers chapter 18, we're taught here that the priests were not given any inheritance, but what were they given? The offerings of the Lord. And what was some of that offering? Not only the animal sacrifices, but wine. Yes, wine. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 26 to 39. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 26 to 39. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
I said, I will scatter them into corners. I will make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants, when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. He shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
Now later, we'll be discussing this drink offering, but you notice the God of Abraham tells his people that even false gods have a drink offering. And he says, look, my people, if they follow false gods, they'll be drinking the wine of asps, etc., and it will be bitter. But yet, if they do what's right, they will be drinking the true wine. Amen. All right, and our last scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 32 to 38. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 32 to 38. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken.
Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. It came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died.
And if you notice here, a little contrast to the others who drank, Nabal, he not only gets drunk, he not only drinks, but he gets drunk with wine. He gets drunk with it. And then Abigail waits till he's sobered up in the morning to tell him her news, and then he gets faint-hearted, and then he dies. But he doesn't die of the drink. He dies because he's faint-hearted and finding out that David, in the context, when you read the whole context in that chapter, that David could have killed him, but did not do so. But you notice here, the main point being that he had gotten drunken, meaning he tarried long at the wine and got drunk to excess. Amen. So what did we learn tonight? Actually, several things. There are those who drank but never got drunk, and God didn't have a problem with it. Then there was the one, Nabal, who drunk and got totally drunken, and it wasn't that God got against him for getting drunken, but he did die, and he was drunken when he got, and then he had to sober up. Then we find over and over that the priests, a part of the offerings that were given was wine. Wine. And then we also find that the Nazarene, and of course in that offerings, it was talking about the tithe, and it said wine or strong drink, wine or strong drink. And then even, yes, the Nazarite, it said that when he was finished with his vow, that he could drink wine or strong drink. So that takes care of those soberists that says that you have to be totally abstinent. It doesn't say that. Amen. But I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. How many people do you know who do not drink, and what are they like? How many people do you know who do not drink, and what are they like? Amen. But right now, we're going to pause for a little station ID and a few other messages, and we'll be right back after those messages. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consist of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line, ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program. Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel, the Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there. Several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
As quick. quick as lightning streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that final glorious hour. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore.
Lesson 10 Jewish Girls. The Bible reveals much about our troubled world, even to the point of explaining in a parable that 10 Jewish girls represent a situation relevant to the second coming of the Lord. We learn from Scripture that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. It's my personal belief that the lesson will help to pull back the curtain of explanation that may have been somewhat clouded in your thinking, possibly for long years. As always, the authoritative basis for our discussion is recorded in Holy Writ Scripture. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, that ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25, 1-13 in your KJV Bible. You've just read a parable. A parable is a metaphorical comparison. That's why Jesus Christ always began his kingdom parables with, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like, and so forth. A parable is an indirect but helpful method of teaching. Jesus Christ came unto his own brethren, The Israelites, and in spite of everything he did to prove himself to be the Son of God, they turned their backs upon him. After they once turned their backs upon him, he always spoke to them in parables. That is, he taught indirectly, knowing that those who had ears to hear would hear because of the accompanying power of the Holy Spirit, as the Scripture tells us. Scripture, and the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Therefore speak I in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Matthew 13:10-14. In the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus is making a comparison with the wedding to his bride, the church, and that of the Jewish wedding held in the early days in Palestine. It's common practice that the Jewish wedding took place at night. The Bible says we are being wedded to Christ now while we are here on the earth because we are the light of the world. We are not of the night nor of the darkness, yet we live in a dark and sinful society. When a Jewish man was married, the wedding was conducted in the bride's home. Our wedding with Christ is taking place here on the earth right now in our present home. We are actually wedded to Christ when we're born again. We become home of his home and flesh of his flesh, or bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, excuse me. Scripture, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones, Ephesians 5:30. After the Jewish wedding ceremony, the bridegroom and his new wife journeyed from the wife's house to the home of the bridegroom's father. After we're wedded to Christ on this earth as a translation of the body, the bride of Christ, we will make a triumphal entry from our home on the earth to the heavenly home of our bridegroom's father. Scripture, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, and might as well include 18, because that's about comforting each other with the words. Okay, in this parable, the 10 Jewish girls were stationed outside the house of the bridegroom's father for the express purpose of watching for the coming of the bridegroom. These 10 Jewish girls represent all who are looking and waiting and watching for the coming of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. These 10 Jewish girls were at a central advantageous place along the journey which the bridegroom and his new wife would travel on their way to his father's house. They were waiting and watching for the wedding party so they could give forth the message, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. All of them were watching for the bridegroom. Yet five of the girls were wise and five were foolish. Many of the relatives of the bridal couple attended the marriage supper. Some were rich, some were poor, some were old, and some were young, while some were crippled. To each one attending was given a special wedding garment. It was like a large flour sack with a hole cut in the top for the head and two holes cut in the sides for the arms to extend through. When each guest put on the wedding garment, it was next to impossible to tell one from the other because they all looked alike from the outside. We must have on our wedding garment in order to get into the marriage supper up in heaven. If you're wedded to Christ, naturally you'll have on the wedding garment. Now here's your scripture. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him, the man who had not on the wedding garment, hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. For many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22:11-14. This parable gives us a spiritual insight into what will happen when Jesus Christ comes at the rapture of the church to snatch the church out of the churches. Christ will be looking for those who have on the wedding garment because the wedding is taking place every moment a person is born again. Some teach that the wedding doesn't take place until we get to heaven or even during the kingdom age rule, but we must be wedded to Christ before that time or else we wouldn't have on the wedding garment. If we don't have on the wedding garment, then naturally we won't be caught up in the air to be with Christ and go to the marriage supper. Scripture, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage should be translated marriage supper of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And it saith unto me, bright, blessed are they, wife the church, which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19, 7 through 9 in your KJV Bible. Everyone who is caught up at the time of the translation of the body of Christ must have on the wedding garment. The wedding garment, according to Revelation 19, 9, is the righteousness of the saints. In other words, our righteous deeds are our fruits. Eternal life is not your wedding garment because eternal life is free. It comes first before your works and is the absolute gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8, KJV. At the Jewish marriage supper, the bridegroom will circulate among the invited guests and see that everyone was being served. The marriage supper of the Lamb, which takes place up in heaven, the Bible tells us, let your loins be girt about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Here I say unto you that he, Jesus Christ, shall gird himself and make them the church to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Luke 12, 35-37. According to the scripture, Jesus Christ will be the heavenly waiter at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is to take place up in the third heaven as a conclusion of the judgment of the Christian's works. At the Jewish marriage supper, the very finest of foods available were served to all the guests. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, the very finest of food will be served also. The Bible tells us this food will come from Christ. This food will be the complete unfolding of the scriptures to us, the reason being that at that particular time, we will be spiritual beings. At present time, we are triune beings, having a physical body, a spirit, and a soul. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, KJV. But at that time, we'll be twofold spiritual beings, and we will require spiritual food. It won't be necessary that we eat physical food then. But there's a controversy on that. Some people think you will have food that are also like meat. Okay, scripture, it, referring to the physical body, is sown, a natural body. It's raised, a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15, 44, KJV. Christ beautifully unfolded the scriptures to those two men of the village of Emmaus. And you no doubt remember what those men said after Jesus had talked with them. Here they are. Did not our heart burn within us while he, the resurrected Christ, talked with us, by the way, and while he opened us to us the scriptures? Luke 24, 32, KJV. That's why the Bible tells us, scripture, then, after the translation shall I know, even as also I am known, 1 Corinthians 13, 12. We're beginning to get an interesting and realistic picture of what the marriage supper of the Lamb will be like, as we're looking at 10 Jewish girls, 5 of whom were wise and 5 were foolish. During the time of the Jewish marriage supper, the father's house was closed. During the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is to take place up in the third heaven, the Bible tells us that heaven will be closed. Here's the scripture. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage supper, and the door was shut, closed. Matthew 25, 10. Scripture, and I saw heaven opened. Revelation 19:11. Heaven is closed during the marriage supper, but in Revelation 19:11, it's opened again. The time of the marriage supper, the two witnesses will be God's personal representatives on the earth. The reason the door of heaven is closed during the marriage supper of the Lamb is because the marriage supper is to be a time of hallelujahs and great celebrations, a time of wonderful joy. Believers do not go immediately into the marriage supper, when translated, from the earth, because at the rapture we receive a summons or a shout before we're translated. Here's the scripture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This shout is actually a summons given to us to appear in court before Jesus Christ, so we'll get all of our unconfessed sins forgiven. Dare any Christian stand today and say he or she doesn't have any bad thoughts, any bad words, or bad deeds which have been committed since he or she became a Christian which need to be forgiven? We've all sinned, so we all have to be forgiven. What I'm saying to say is this. Just because we have forgotten about some petty things in our lives which were not complimentary to us as Christians, it doesn't mean that they have been forgiven. Before we go into the marriage supper, we must go to the judgment of our works, so every spot and wrinkle can be cleansed and ironed out of our wedding garment. Now here's your scripture. That he, Jesus Christ, might present at the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's Ephesians 5, 27. Therefore, when the shout is given, we'll go to the judgment of our works, for we go into the marriage supper, every unconfessed sin, every unconfessed grudge against our neighbor, relative, or any individual must be forgiven and settled once and for all time. We absolutely cannot, and may I emphasize this for you, we cannot go into the marriage supper until every unconfessed sin is made right before God. I sure I got some. I think we all do, and it says that. All our righteousness is the filthy rags, and we've all sinned, so that covers that. Scripture, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Now, once the judgment of our works is completed, then we go into the marriage supper, and heaven is to be closed, as we have previously seen in the book of Matthew and in the book of Revelation. Heaven is to be closed for 1,260 days, that's 3.5 years, or 42 months, according to the biblical reckoning of time of 360 days to the year. Scripture, and when he, Jesus Christ, had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Revelation 8:1. This silence in heaven for the space of half an hour is 3.5 years because the whole hour is described as Daniel's 70th week. Daniel 9:27. The full hour, or 7 years, is the time of Jacob's trouble described in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, which covers the entire earth. We, the church, or body of Christ, are to be kept from that hour as described in the book of Revelation. Scripture, I know thy works, Philadelphia Church, present church age. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's Revelation 3, 8, and 10. The hour begins with the translation of the church, and the first half of the hour will be spent at the judgment of our works. Scripture. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. That's 1 Corinthians 4:5 KJV. Now because heaven is to be closed during the first half of the Daniel 70th week, the management of the earth will be turned over to God's two witnesses who have power to unite the earth as often as they want to for a total of 1,260 days or 42 months or 3.5 years. Now, the Jewish father in Palestine had additional living quarters built on his own house for his married son and new wife. That's what the Bible means when it says, in my father's house there are many mansions or resting places. This old earth, because of sin, removed away from God, and a swaddling band of darkness has been wrapped around it, Job 38:9, but this darkness will be rolled away as a scroll, Revelation 6:14. At the conclusion of the white throne judgment, the Bible tells us this earth will be destroyed by an all-consuming fire. And then there will be a freshly remade earth. You could read that in Revelation 21:1 and in Isaiah 65:17. After this present earth is burned up and a new earth remade, we will come back to the new earth, which will be our eternal resting place where we will be with our husband, the bridegroom, Christ. After the marriage supper, the wedded Jewish couple went on their honeymoon. We, the bride of Christ, will spend 3.5 years in the closed heaven with our husband as our heavenly honeymoon. What a time we'll have talking, singing, and rejoicing with Christ. Eventually, we'll live in the New Jerusalem forever with our husband. Revelation 21, 1 through 10. After the Jewish couple's marriage supper and honeymoon, the father's house was open, and the young husband went back to work. After our marriage supper, heaven will again be opened, and our husband, Christ, will go back to the work of managing the earth for God. Scripture, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he shall judge and make war. Revelation 19:11, KJV. The wedding of Christ and his saints is in four distinct parts. Number one, first part of their wedding took place when Christ descended into the lower parts of the earth and led out of paradise, Ephesians 4, 8 and 9, all those who had died looking forward to the first coming of Christ. This is the first part of the wedding. Number two, all those who are born again and are waiting for the second coming of Christ were wedded to him the moment they accepted him as their Savior. And we have seen that. They become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. This is the second part of the wedding. Three, all those who during the tribulation period believe in Christ and give out their testimony, refuse to accept the mark of the beast, or bow down and worship the image of the Antichrist, permitting themselves to be put to death, endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This is the third part of the wedding. Number four, after the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, Satan is to be loosed for a little season for the purpose of testing the people who've been born on the earth during the 1,000 years. The testing will be an invitation from Satan to join the army of Gog and Magog. Those who refuse to join that army will be wedded to Christ at that time on the earth. This fourth part of the wedding completes the wedding of Christ and fulfills these scriptures. Behold, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear on this new earth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. That they may be one as we are. John 17:11. There's another, neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, but ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That's Galatians 3:28, KJV. This is the purpose for the wedding. Now, this wedding is taking place now at this very moment. Some of you reading this, some of you listening to this lesson may realize that you are a lost and doomed sinner, and it's possible the Holy Spirit may enliven you temporarily so you may see your lost condition and accept the Savior. In so doing, you'll be wedded to Christ. Praise the Lord, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Let's look further at the contrast between the 10 Jewish girls, 5 who were wise and 5 who were foolish. People in the days of Christ traveled at night. Because of the heat of the day, they carried a lamp, which is actually a torch, made of dry leaves bound together around a long stick. The fiery torch afforded them light for their journey, and also protection at night against savage beasts and robbers. Extra oil had to be carried in a flask to replenish the earth, or it will stop giving light. The lamp which the born-again and the Orthodox Jews have is the Old Testament. In other words, the wise virgins are the born-again members of the body of Christ, and the foolish virgins are the Jews. Both the church and the Jew have the lamp. Scripture, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105, KJV. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is given in the New Testament. The New Testament is the flask. It's the Holy Spirit who refreshes and teaches us that which is in the Word of God. The church has the Holy Spirit, but the Jews do not have the Holy Spirit because they do not accept the New Testament. That's why the 5 foolish virgins said to the wise ones, give us of your oil. The reason was they did not have the New Testament. The New Testament is the flask for the oil. The Bible speaks about the 10 virgins as having gone to sleep. Scripture, while the bridegroom tarried, they all, 10 virgins, slumbered and slept. Matthew 25:5. Please note, the circumstance which aroused the 10 virgins was a specific cry made at midnight. Scripture, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Matthew 25:6. One of these days, it will be real soon, there will be the appearance of the man of sin, the Antichrist. Bible tells us the Antichrist will guarantee the Jews 7 years of peace. You can read this in Daniel 9:27. The Jews will begin their sacrificial worship and then discover they're not under the law. If the Antichrist is not to appear until after the church has been raptured, then we're going to run into a lot of interpretational snags, because the Antichrist will guarantee the Jews 7 years of peace at the beginning of the tribulation period. In the middle of the tribulation period, he will go into the temple in Jerusalem and proclaim himself God, breaking his original 7-year agreement with the Jews. That will be his revelation. There's a difference between his appearance and his revelation. If he is to guarantee 7 years of peace at the beginning of the tribulation period, then he will have to be more than a member of the State Department in Washington or a deputy sheriff in order to carry enough political weight to cause the state of Israel to accept him as their Messiah. It's during the appearance of the Antichrist that the midnight hour cry is to be sounded. It's at that particular time that both the Church and the Orthodox Jews are going to become inquisitive regarding biblical teaching and scriptural doctrines. When this realization comes under the 10, or upon the 10 Jewish girls. 5 were foolish as well as the 5 wise ones. The foolish ones will ask to borrow oil from the wise ones because their lamps or torches will be going out. The foolish virgins will not have understood their Old Testament up to that time. They quickly know the true believer has something which they never possessed. At that time, they will come to the church and ask for some oil. We who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ cannot give our indwelling Holy Spirit to anyone. We will send them to the dealer God and tell them to go and buy for themselves. The buying is explained this way. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Come ye buy and eat, ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Therefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Isaiah 55:1-2. While the Jews go to buy, that is, among other things, investigate the circumstances under which Christ the heavenly bridegroom was crucified. The need for new birth, the fact that Jesus Christ will come in the clouds of glory, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be translated into the third heaven, and after the 5 wise virgins are removed from the earth and go to heaven, then the following portion of Scripture, Matthew 25, will be fulfilled. And while they, the Jews, went to buy, the bridegroom Christ came, and they that were ready, born again, went into heaven with him to the marriage supper, and the door of heaven was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, foolish ones, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he, Christ, answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Matthew 25:10-12, KJV. The last prophecy to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is to translate the church. Is the Jews going to buy or make inquiry regarding the Holy Spirit? What's the difference between a Christian and an Orthodox Jew? The Jews, like ourselves, are virgins. Both love God. We both have the lamp, the Old Testament. For the Jews, it's gone out, Romans 11:25, but for us, it's kept lighted through the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Jews are looking for the first coming of Christ, but we are looking for his second coming. We, the wise virgins, have the oil of the Holy Spirit, but the Jews, the foolish virgins, do not have the oil, because the Holy Spirit is given in the New Testament, and they do not accept the New Testament. We are coming to a climax in this present dispensation of grace, and great climactic happenings are to have to take place almost momentarily. That's why the Scripture tie warns us, Scripture, and take heed to yourselves, that any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day, second coming of Christ, come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:34-36. May I ask you these questions? Which of the 10 Jewish girls are you? Are you one of the 5 wise virgins, or are you one of the five foolish ones? If you're one of the foolish ones, you will not be translated when Jesus Christ comes for his church. You'll be left behind. You will not. If you will accept Christ as your Savior and be ready to go with him, when he gives the shout from the heavens, then you'll be caught up to meet him. And the next lesson will be handwriting on the wall.
And we want to thank you, Ruth, about that great information about the 10 Jewish girls. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause to hear about the great programming found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number 1. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network
the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week. What you really want? The Six Eyes Radio Network.
Now that we're back, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. How many people do you know who do not drink, and what are they like? How many people do you know who do not drink, and what are they like? It's that time. It's open mic time.
All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, again, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Lila, and Sister Emily, M's dad, and me.
Okay.
We miss six. She's cool.
All right. Well, six ran off on us. Must have been a little too hard on this drinking. Either that or he, or those six Jewish girls got to him. But, all right. Well, we'll start with Emily and Lila. Whoever, which one ever wants to start us? You guys there? Get your coffee, unmute yourself now.
No, no questions.
Okay, but do you want to answer the question of the day, which is how many people... It's a two-parter. One, how many people do you know who do not drink? And the second half is, what are they like?
Not sure about that one, Ken.
Okay. Well, let me ask it slowly. How many people do you know that don't drink?
A handful.
Okay. And what are they like?
Royal ding-dongs. Especially when they're drunk.
No, not when... I said those that are that don't drink, Em. How many people do you know that do not drink?
Maybe about 15, if that.
Okay. And what are those people like?
Those guys, they're cool because they end up going whooping off on the other ones that do get priced too.
Okay. And does Lila want to answer our question of the day or guess? Does she have any questions?
Lila. Well, they're getting ready to end the show after this, Lila. She said no.
Okay. Well, then, Ruthie, your turn. Okay. First off, how many people do you know that don't drink?
Most people I know don't drink.
Okay. And what are they like?
Well, they're usually pretty nice people, and they try to help people that do drink. They like, you know, give them, like, counseling or something.
Okay. Well, I'm going to weigh in on that, and it's pretty much the same thing. Most of the people I know, there's some, yeah, that I know that drink, but there's most of them that I know that don't drink, and they're pretty good people. All righty then. We're going to let Ruthie, we'll give Emily the night off. We'll be nice to her. But we'll give Ruthie to give us a closing prayer, and then we're going to close out with our Red Sylvine song.
Well, Lord, we love and praise your name, and we thank you for the program. I hope people got blessed and healed and saved by everything that went on. And we just love and praise your name. I want to serve you always. Amen.
Amen. And here we go. We're going to close out with this song and hope everybody enjoys.
I was on the outskirts of a little southern town, trying to reach my destination before the sun went down. The old CB was blaring away on Channel 19 when there came a little boy's voice on the radio line. And he said, "Breaker 19, is anyone there? Come on back, truckers, and talk to Teddy Bear." Well, I keyed the mic and I said, "You got it, Teddy Bear." And the little boy's voice came back on the air. "Appreciate the break. Who we got on that end?" I told him my handle, and then he began. "Now, I'm not supposed to bother you fellas out there. Mom says you're busy and for me to stay off there. But you see, I get lonely and it helps to talk. 'Cause that's about all I can do. I'm crippled and I can't walk." I came back and told him to fire up that mic, and I talked to him as long as he liked. "This was my dad's radio," the little boy said, "but I guess it's mine and mom's now, 'cause my daddy's dead. Dad had a wreck about a month ago. He was trying to get home in a blinding snow. Mom has to work now to make ends meet, and I'm not much help with my two crippled feet. She says not to worry, that we'll make it all right. But I hear her crying sometimes late at night. You know, there's one thing I want more than anything else to see. Oh, I know you guys are too busy to bother with me. But, you see, my dad used to take me for rides when he was home. But I guess that's all over now since my daddy's gone." Not one breaker came on the old CB as that little crippled boy talked with me. I tried hard to swallow a lump that just wouldn't stay down, as I thought about my boy back in Greenville town. Dad was going to take Mom and me with him later on this year. Well, I remember him saying, "Someday this old truck will be yours, Teddy Bear. But I know I'll never get to ride an 18-wheeler again. But this old base will keep me in touch with all my trucker friends. Teddy Bear's going to back on out now and leave you alone, 'cause it's about time for Mom to come home. But you give me a shout when you're passing through, and I'll sure be happy to come back to you." Well, I came back and I said, "Before you go, 1010, what's your home 20, little CB friend?" Well, he gave me his address and I didn't once hesitate, 'cause this hot load of freight is just gonna have to wait. I turned that truck around on a dime and headed straight for Jackson Street, 229. And as I rounded the corner, oh, I got one heck of a shock. 18-wheelers were lined up for three city blocks. Well, I guess every driver for miles around had caught Teddy Bear's call. And that little crippled boy was having a ball. For as fast as one driver would carry him in, another would carry him to his truck and take off again. Well, you better believe I took my turn at riding Teddy Bear. And then I carried him back in and put him down in his chair. And buddy, if I never live to see happiness again, I want you to know I saw it that day in the face of that little man. We took up a collection for him before his mama got home, and each driver said goodbye, and then they were all gone. He shook my hand with a mile-long grin and said, "So long, trucker. I'll catch you again." Yeah, I hit that interstate with tears in my eyes. And I turned on the radio, and I got another surprise. Breaker 19 came a voice on the air. "Just one word of thanks from Mama Teddy Bear. We wish each and every one a special prayer for you, 'cause you just made my little boy's dream come true. I'll sign off now before I start to cry. May God ride with you. 10-4. And goodbye."